Cerruto, try it again. Fans on the feet, 6,000 in attendance. The payoff is flied into right field, going back at the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! Go ahead, three-run home run for the senior! Peter Cerruto has given the Indiana Hoosiers the lead!
Welcome to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. The Indiana Hoosiers soundly defeated the North Kentucky Norse 11-5 yesterday. The Hoosiers were paced offensively by a 4-for-4 day from junior Brock Tibbetts and home runs from Jake Stadler and Andrew Wiggins. Ethan Phillips earned the win on the mound as the opener, and Julian Tongini earned his second save of the season with a 3.2-inning close. The media met with Tongini, Tibbetts, and head coach Jeff Mercer following the contest.
Some days, you know, you're not going to perform the way you want to, and some days you are. It's just a matter of how you get up the next day and stick to your routine. So it was a great feeling.
Mercer's obviously being pretty liable to use a lot of different guys in a lot of different roles, got a lot of length out of you tonight. What was working for you out there on the mound?
Yeah, I'd say the slider. Just hammering the slider, throwing it at guys, starting it at guys, and then having it just run into the zone was big for me tonight. That was on, and then just throwing the fastball up in the zone in the 0-2 or even getting ahead 0-0, and that was working.
You mentioned staying in your routine. What's your routine look like?
Yeah, so it's pretty lengthy, but with all the pitchers, like, we all have our own routines, what we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, depending on when you start, when you relieve, you know, it's just really based on your recovery process. It's how can we get prepared for the next outing? It's really in-depth, but for the most part, it's like some days are high days, some days are low days, and then just managing volume.
Are there any sort of niches that kind of get adjusted for that when a game is pushed back a day like this because of weather or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does give us another day, so it is nice to get that extra day in, whether it's recovery throwing or high intent or bullpen work. So that extra day always helps.
We saw some really good pitches from you today. What do you kind of credit the most in the offseason for your improvement?
I'd say the strength training. Strength and conditioning training. The work with Glant, really, I mean, over the fall and over the winter, working on those pitch grips, finding out what zones are going to play best with them, sitting down with the data and just saying, hey, like, you need to throw this here in these counts and you're going to have success. So just sticking to that plan, trusting the pitch calls and the pitch locations, and hopefully having success.
So throughout the offseason coming to now, I guess, how has your relationship with Glant evolved and kind of how's that helping you build some success?
Yeah, I mean, we've always had a really good relationship. Just from the start, when I was first talking to him, I knew we were very like-minded people. We talked the same language. He knew what I needed to work on. He knew how to help me, and that was the biggest thing. So just, I'm getting in the season, it's just getting stronger, getting closer, learning more about each other, and having fun.
Really a tough competition down in Frisco. Pitchers collectively gave up double digits, you know, on 2 days. Kind of what was Glant's message to the pitchers, you know, coming back from that weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we battled that weekend, and it was really just like, hey, that was great competition. Like, let's see what we can do better, and let's see how we can progress throughout the season, because at the end of the day, it's not about where you are at the start, but it's about where you finish.
Brock, I think this was the 7th four-hit game of your career, all singles tonight, obviously, but when you go up to the plate, is there any sort of variance in your approach or kind of what works well on a day like this?
Honestly, just staying simple, you know. I mean, just taking what the pitcher's giving me, and, you know, just based on the situation, just try to put a ball in play. You know, the guys in front of me, you know, are doing their job to get on base, so it comes down to me then being able to drive them in. So just, you know, staying simple with my approach and not trying to do too much at the plate.
Offensively, probably not the weekend you guys wanted to have overall in Frisco, but getting a game like this, getting running runs up on the scoreboard, what does that do for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we all have a lot of confidence in our offense, both individually and, you know, collectively. So just being able to, you know that we put in the work to, you know, be able to put up a game like this, and, you know, just being able to put in the work every day and trust our preparation to play.
Wiggins got his first home run of the season on a pinch hit, no less. So, kind of, what was your reaction to that?
No, I mean, that was awesome to, you know, see a guy that, you know, worked so hard. We got so many guys that just, they work so hard, you know, behind the scenes. Some guys, you know, a lot of the guys that may not be, you know, everyday guys, and just being able to go man in a situation like that and, you know, put a good swing on the ball, and, you know, he's got a lot of power, and, you know, just being able to carry that out of the park was, you know, really cool to see.
Along the same lines, I think Jake also hit his first one for IU tonight. You guys have been rotating a little bit at catcher. Kind of, what's your relationship like with him, and kind of what was your reaction to seeing him hit that ball as well?
Yeah, I have an amazing relationship with Jake. You know, just being able to kind of work with him, you know, collectively with the pitching staff, and being able to get on the same page with the pitching staff. So just, you know, being able to see him after, you know, he's been out, you know, he's been sick the last week, and he's been kind of in and out, and getting back in there today and putting a good swing on a ball. It was awesome to see, especially since he came from Purdue too. So.
A late scratch for Seth Benes. Do you have any thought behind that?
Yeah, he just was tight today. he threw, obviously, last week, and then we traveled him this weekend to throw his pin with us just to keep an eye on him. He felt fine in his pin. Just kind of woke up tight today and didn't want to push anything with him coming off Tommy John. And so, yeah, it was really just – he just felt tight, and I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's anything big, but just rather be cautious and careful than force the issue.
The rain pushing you guys back a day. Now you're closer to the weekend set. Getting the kind of length that you did out of your pitcher's day, how important is that for saving arms this weekend?
Yeah, it was big. It was big. And so we're going to have to – you know, we haven't got some length on the weekend that we would like. And so, you know, we're not opposed to going, you know, more of like a pod system where guys can go two or three in the midweek and two or three on the weekend and kind of bring those guys back. So kind of switched gears a little bit, you know, today to do that and get that kind of more of that A group up more often. We've gotten some of the other guys in there, and they're going to be fine. They're going to be good players. Just we made an adjustment after last week to make sure that we were in a better position kind of going forward this week. And then, you know, we'll get those guys back, the guys that threw tonight, hopefully get them back Saturday or Sunday and kind of get them on a more consistent basis. And we'll manage as we go. Hopefully we get some more length as we go. But if not, we can adjust and get those guys up multiple times a week if that's what their bodies respond to.
Middle infield kind of had some shaky moments defensively. I guess, was that the conditions, or what do you attribute that to?
Yeah, just the wet field. When our turf gets wet, it gets pretty slick and balls kind of bounce differently. And, you know, Tyler's a young guy. It's just, again, making the adjustment over the shortstop from second base. He's done a really good job. It's been pretty seamless. But then you have kind of the misty day and balls are slick, and then it kind of gets on you a little bit and you're thinking about it. And so they'll be fine. It'll be fine. You know, the play he made late in the game where he goes right middle of the sixth inning or so, where he goes to Pine to get the lead off third base. He was really confident in that throw, in that play. So thought he did a good job bouncing back. Obviously, double play ball there in the eighth we don't make, which hurt. But Julian did a great job managing that. But I really think that the storyline is Aiden Carlson stepping in and playing really good defense for us there, making several big plays. I think he started two or three double plays for us. So just a really good job from him, and a really good example of to work while you wait and be prepared when your moment's called, and stepped up really big for us, because those were big. Right? Those are big inning plays or inning rally-killing plays, and he was executing for us, did a really good job.
I think Aiden also turned that double play to start the game-winning double play Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. He's a double play machine, evidently.
What kind of confidence do you have in him, you know, being able to be more regularly inserted in the lineup?
Yeah, that was, you know, last Tuesday. We got him in the first game of the year, made a play, and then last Tuesday we started him just because we want to be able to use the depth of our bench. And so if it's as a pinch hit option out of that second base position, he's got to get on the field, and you got to feel the pressure of your starting and kind of feel the heat of that moment. And so that was important to get him in there last week and get a start, and then try to insert him. He's a really good defender. You know, he came to camp from California, came to camp as a senior in high school, and we've wanted to get longer and more athletic and more defensive, certainly in the middle of the diamond. And he just was a terrific defender, you know, very sure-handed, very fundamental, as you would imagine a California middle infielder to be. And so we had pegged him as a guy that we trusted defensively, and he's developing offensively. He'll get there when he gets there, but if he can go and be sure-handed and steady like that, he gives us a ton of options to either, you know, whether you start Brandon and you pinch hit for him in the right situation, or you start Hayden and use Brandon as a backup. It just gives you a lot of confidence to be able to use the depth of your bench offensively and then have a really good defender you can plug in there. And I think Jason Oliver has developed. You know, he's been working really hard. I think he's probably the next one that gives us a shot as well. You know, we could pinch it twice a game in that position and then get Oliver in there late if we wanted to. So, but yeah, Hayden's defensive ability has always been his calling card. It's why we recruited him. He's worked really hard offensively. He'll get better. And then I think Jason Oliver is going to give us a lift as well as he develops, because he's as talented as we have. He's a real talented kid.
Tyler made a few errors at short and stayed in the game, and Burke made that one error and came out pretty quickly. What was your thought process for kind of making that change so soon?
I just wanted the pinch hit option. So Wiggins came up in that next inning, and I was going to take our shot offensively to make that move. He made me look pretty smart there with the 2-1 homer. But, you know, we have a lot of good offensive players on the bench, and I wanted to take a shot in that situation for Andrew, and he came through for us. So there wasn't as much behind it as from a defensive standpoint as there was. It was a better matchup offensively to get a really talented kid in there early. And then we took the lead and took more of a commanding lead, so I didn't feel the need, and the situation didn't come up to go back to an offensive player for Oliver to come in defensively. So it kind of felt we could hold our ground after that. We took our shot and it worked. Brandon's going to have to continue to get better defensively and manage that bats offensively. But yeah, there wasn't as much into it from a defensive standpoint as there was offensively. I wanted to take a shot with Andrew.
You mentioned Wiggins had his first home run here. Same thing with Stadler, first home run at IU. Yeah. So I guess what was the reaction from the guys in the dugout to those homers?
Well, just very excited, you know, especially for Andrew, out of the flow of the game to come in and hit a pinch hit homer. That's obviously very exciting. I think the thing for Jake is Jake kind of was pulling off balls a little bit earlier, and we did a little bit. We kind of muscled up and pulled off some balls. And so we talked about, like, hey, let's get our sights in the middle of the field and let's be loose and quick and not so rotational. And he was able to make a really good adjustment and hammer one. So Jake was sick, was really sick last week, and probably my fault for trying to play him on Friday and just wasn't ready to go. But to get him back in there, he's been a really good defender for us. He's been a great offensive player for us. You guys hitting probably 300 and has a bunch of big hits. So very excited for him and for Andrew both. Obviously, their first home runs are moments they won't forget.
Talking about Andrew, you have four or five guys in the outfield that could get consistent at-bats. How do you balance that rotation?
I think you look at the windows and avenues in the course of the game, but you could put guys in for a good matchup. You know, we try to, you know, Carter hurt his thumb at Baylor, and then Mitchell's coming off of a broken hand. So I've tried to keep the one of those two guys as the DH option to kind of keep some of the swelling out of both of their hands, and having a really good player in Morgan to be able to do that with has been a great benefit for us. So just, you know, whether it's as a start or if it's DH or whether it's as a pinch hit, you know, we try to keep those guys in the flow of the game as much as you can and use the depth of your bench. You know, we used Bodie this weekend. Jake was sick, so I had to catch Tibby on Saturday and then Joey B at first. And so it kind of opened up as a DH option, a really good matchup for Bodie. He stepped in and did a great job and probably was the difference in that win at Dallas Baptist. So just you got to look at the lineup and where can I take shots and where can we use our depth and then also play defense. There's got to be counterparts that work with them, and today we were able to do that. So yeah, they're good players. We should have good players. We should have depth. That's if our recruiting is working as it should, then we should have really talented freshmen who are pushing upperclassmen, and we should have the depth of the entire roster that's capable of playing, given opportunities, and then when they get in there, go and execute and perform and compete. I'll keep sticking them out there as much as I can.
With the game getting pushed back a day, did you have any last-minute changes, whether that's arm or in the lineup? Did you have to change anything around real quick, or did everything move?
Just the Bennis change today just showed up to the ballpark and was tight. And so that was the one that we kind of had to make an adjustment on. We had planned on him going the first two or three and then kind of stacking those guys up after that. So thankfully, Julian was able to give us more length on the backside of the game and kind of cover up for some of the length that we lost with Bennis. But that was the only real major adjustment for us. Tibby had caught the midweeks before, but because he caught Saturday and Sunday this weekend, in the heat and stuff. I just wanted to give him a day back at first base and get Jake back in there, get him going. So those were the kind of the only major adjustments for us
around this time.
Was there a problem this weekend with expanding the zone? And if so, do you think things got a little bit better today?
From an offensive standpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, the Friday guy was terrific. It wasn't as much expanding as it was just like he just was really, really good. Yes and no on Saturday and Sunday. The really, really good breaking ball guys, good spin guys. I didn't think we were – I thought we were in between timing, and that's kind of been a consistent theme for us where we've actually expanded up to fastballs more because we're kind of playing catch-up on the fastball, sitting on off-speed, or just in between. And so I thought today was a little bit better. I still thought we got bullied by the fastball there in the middle innings. They brought the big kid in. It was 90-92 after the guys that were more mid to upper 80s. We made an adjustment the second time. The second inning, we saw him, Cerny doubles, Stadler homers. But I think as much as anything is being in between fastballs, and then you have a tendency to expand up to fastballs because you're trying to play catch-up and then going down to the off-speed a little bit and be in between. So I did think today was better, but a really good strike zone. To work with, and so it gives you confidence. You don't have to expand it, but sometimes with the quality of arms on the weekend, guy just throws a really good breaking ball and expand. But I think the biggest issue for us is being in between our fastballs.
Around this time last year, Devin broke into the lineup, and Wiggins is another lefty with power in the opposite field, and he answered the call today. Do you think that he's kind of ready for more consistent at bats at this stage?
I would say today his last couple of bats have been really good. A lot of times the issue is not an issue for him, but just as a player is just defensively, are you able to play every day as a defender? And he's doing a much better job. So that would be the ultimate question for him is he able to continue to grow as a defender, and then does the opportunity call for it? And so to do that, somebody has to play their way out of the lineup, and then he has to continue to produce to the point where he plays his way in. So we've been able to get him in there consistently, and if he continues to do what he's doing, then I would say that's certainly an opportunity.
Talked a lot about the feedback loop that kind of comes after a weekend like this past one. Over the past few days in clubhouse and the cages, what's kind of been the focus of your training going forward?
Kind of just get back in and do your work. When you're gone for so long, the hardest part is just inconsistent training. And we have talented players, but they're also very used to the environment and the training and the drills that we do. And so when you're unable to do that for almost a month, that's a hard thing. So you want to get in there and just get back to work. So it hasn't really been too much of an adjustment, just kind of back to steady as she goes. And I talked to the kids. If you remember last year, the third weekend, we got drilled on Friday at East Carolina by 17-4 or whatever, and won a close game on Saturday against a good team. And then got drilled on Sunday by Long Beach. It's just hard. You get to that third or fourth week on the road, and you've just out of gas a little bit. And we played some really good teams. Arizona had lost 5 games by a total of 7 runs. Most of those teams, being the ranked teams, they were due to break out. Now, I wish it wasn't against us, and I wish it wouldn't happen like that. But sometimes it's that's a once-in-a-season inning, and it gets away from you. And it's baseball, so we get – we got drilled last year by Maryland and came back and made a good run. And so you just like I always tell the kids, you win 5 or 6 games in a row and everybody thinks you're the best team ever, you're probably not the best team ever. And you lose a couple and take it on the chin and everybody thinks you stink. Well, you don't stink. You just had a bad day or two against some really damn good teams. So you just move on. You just move on. But if you're going to go play and you're going to go hop in those environments and do that stuff, that's always a risk. You always run the risk, right? And we've got to get better on the mound. We've got to get more depth. It's not totally shocking. You lose Sinard at the end of last year, and you lose Graywell a month before the season. If we thought we were going to lose 160 innings and not have some guys that have to grow through it, I think we were mistaken. I assumed that at some point guys were going to have to get in there and grow up. But that's part of it. That's all part of it. That's not an excuse. It's just growth, and the best way to do is to go play really good teams and get out and do it, and then we as a coaches have to reassess the team and put guys in a position to be successful. Okay, so we didn't get length on the weekend. That's fine. How do we readjust? Go back in the midweek, reevaluate how we deploy the arms, and let's go get those guys in segments 2 or 3 innings at a time. on a midweek, get him back up for the weekend and so guys can get more length and can get through the lineup a second or a third time. So, yeah, not as much of any changes as just getting back to what you do and reminding the guys that you look at where we were at. I think a year ago today, we were 127th in the RPI, and, you know, where we are right now, but we were top 30 coming into the game. So it is what it is, and you pick up and move on, and you're going to get your butt kicked sometimes. And that's part of life. Nobody here's ever gone their whole life without getting hit in the mouth, and we won't be either. So we'll pick up and go move on, and we'll be okay.
To clarify a point, so you were talking there about it getting more length. So, for example, with Phillips, that you tend to only want to be using him one time through the order. Yeah. Deploying him this way is basically essentially doubling his output, correct?
Yes. Trying to, if we're not going to get length in one outing, so we need to get 5 to 7 innings a week. If we're not going to get it in one outing, then we can get it in two outings and try to increase his chronic and increase his workload to hopefully eventually be able to increase that in one outing. And so we can't go, you know, two innings at a time and then run out of gas and then just not and expect that to ever lengthen back out. So we're just going to have to lengthen them out by increasing the overall chronic workload. And then at some point, you should be able to, his system should respond and should be able to have more length at what time.
For looking ahead to this weekend, you mentioned a lot about challenging yourself on the road. How does bringing a good team like Troy here differ from challenging yourselves on the road?
Well, you get to practice all week and sleep in your bed, so that's always a good thing. But yeah, you know, we had a contract with them, and you know, we went down there a couple of years ago. So coming back up here is a great test for us, and we want to have good opponents here. You know, we want to have recognizable names here and good teams, and obviously the strength of schedule and the RPI is always something that goes into evaluating your opponents, and they've done a great job. They've won a lot of games, and they're really well coached. So it's another challenge for us. It's comparable to a conference weekend. And that's a good thing for us. It prepares you for the length of the season, and it also challenges you guys to go face really good teams. It's the only way you get better is you just got to get in there and do it until you find a way to succeed at that level.
Indiana hosts Sunbelt Power Troy starting at 5 p.m. Friday for a 3-game series. See you at the BART.